You're listening to Alden and Reality, episode 406. John's back from the hospital.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned. As if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we're here, but we're back. I start to say we're here every week, but we haven't been here at all. Because I've been laid up in the hospital in Cleveland, Ohio. And then in the weeks following that, home.
In the hospital.
Back in the hospital in Lexington. And then home again.
And back in the hospital.
No. I didn't do three hospitals, just two hospitals. So... Newsflash, I had surgery.
I have cancer.
Well, there's that. But that aside, I had surgery on the 25th of January. It was a wow. That's all I can say is wow. I've never been cut on like that before. I have had surgery before. I had an incision in my abdomen where they took out a cancerous tumor in my intestine, snipped the intestine on both sides of the tumor, and then sewed the intestine back together. That I thought that was a big deal. This time they say we're going to take out a lymph node. It shouldn't be a big deal at all. But we may have to increase the length of the incision that you already had. So it'll be the same scar, but we'll just maybe make it a little longer. I'm like, all right, that's cool. So when I wake up, the doctor looks at me, and I swear I'm not being culturally insensitive, all right? But he looks at me, he's Japanese. He looks at me and he goes, yeah, so we have to make incision a little larger than originally planned.
John looks at his naked body. He's like got a scar from his neck down.
And I go, a little bigger? Yeah, we cut down the middle of your body from sternum to bottom of past belly button. I was like, wow, that's a long incision. And so I said, did you get what you were after? No, lymph node impossible to get to from that angle. So from there, we cut horizontally across belly to your left-hand side and my right-hand side to go to it from the side angle, and then we were able to retrieve lymph node. I was like, well, was it worth the effort? Very much. Lymph node, very, very ugly. We glad we got it out. And I was like, okay, so in other words, the lymph node looked cancerous. So we're glad we got it out. But I tell you what, man, he cut me from stem to stern. He cut me from just below my sternum all the way down past my belly button. And the incision that I had before was about 6 inches. This one's closer to a foot long. And then almost as long around the side from the middle to my left. And it looks like I've got a big T in my gut. It's weird looking. And so it was a huge incision. I was horribly sore, woke up with staples. I'd never had staples before. The last time they did an incision,
I went to Circuit City before.
swing line staples. I woke up with staples in my stomach. I'd never had staples before. The last time they cut on me, they just did sutures. And this time I had staples, and that was, I felt like I had a zipper down my front. It was weird. But I was in the hospital for about 4 or 5 days and did pretty well. I'm for about the
20 pounds lighter now.
Well, I did lose about 20 pounds. It's odd that you should say that, because when I went to the doctor about a week ago, just to get checked on and to get the staples taken out, they weighed me and I weighed about 20 pounds lighter than I did when I went in for surgery. That's not so much due to surgery. That was due to the horrible recovery experience I had when I got home. Okay, so to give you more detail, because I know you're eager for it, when I got home, the incision and stuff all healed nicely. They didn't actually have to cut through any bowel, so there was no worry about my digestive system being in shock or not working the way it was supposed to. I should have been able to eat and pass gas and make stool and all this normal stuff that a person's digestive system is supposed to do. Yet, for whatever reason, my digestive system decides it's going into rebellion. And I spent about a week and a half vomiting the most vile, putrid, green, bile-y acid stuff that you've ever seen in your life. Could not keep anything down. Got weak as a kitten. I couldn't hold my eyes open or hardly get around the house to go to the bathroom. I got massively dehydrated. My wife has to take me back to the hospital. They have to give me fluids to keep me hydrated. I end up coming. They can't find anything wrong, though. So they don't know what it is. Send me back home. Stomach miraculously gets a little better. Then I spend the next week with the worst case of diarrhea that I've ever had. Made more than one accidental mess on myself. It was horrible. My recovery was the worst possible thing ever. And it wasn't even the incision. The incision healed great. It was all the things that accompany that. And then to top it off,
yeah, we sewed your large intestine to your front of your stomach, so you're just
it could. I don't know that they didn't. You know, it's weird. And so, and to top it off,
well, you know by now.
Well, yeah, you would think so. Yeah. No, everything seems to be working okay now. But to top it off, I somehow managed to damage the sciatic nerve in my back and my leg hurt me for 3 or 4 days straight. I couldn't walk on it. I thought I was going to have to get crutches. I seriously did. And I was like, God, am I being punished? Am I the new Job? What did I do wrong? How have I offended thee, O Lord? No answer came. And I just toughed it out. And so far, so good. I seem to be better. I actually went back to work this past week. But man, this recovery was bad. It was horrible. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad I'm doing better. So then a funny thing happens, Charlie.
Yeah, what's that?
Cleveland called me Friday.
Hey, John.
Not Cleveland. Hey, you need to come on back up here. Cleveland called me Friday and said, your last scan, there was
that's bad.
Your last scan showed something peculiar in your lungs, and we need to test that. So you need to make your first opportunity to come back up here. I was like, geez, people, I'm not even healed from surgery yet.
Well, can't they just, like, get you a scanning thing from somewhere else?
Well, it's not just so much. First, they got, according to them,
we have to cut you open again.
No, not yet. But according to them, they have to first test my heart and lungs to see how strong they are. And if my heart and lungs are strong, then they'll want to take a biopsy of the places they think they see in my lungs. Now, my cancer doctor here at home says that there's something that happens to people in the Tennessee-Ohio Valley, where there's some kind of fungus or something that grows in this area that causes little cystic things to grow in our lungs. And it's nothing; it's not harmful at all. But people from up north and like Cleveland wouldn't have it. And so when they see it on scans, they don't know what it is. He said, I'm relatively sure that's something they're seeing. It's something that like almost all the people in Kentucky have. Little nodules that form in your lungs. They're not harmful at all in any way. But he said, that's probably what it is. It's probably benign. They'll probably insist on doing a biopsy on them to figure out that they're benign. You may have to go through it. But biopsies on your lungs can be tricky because they got to stick a needle in there. And it could collapse the lung if it doesn't go well. So, yay, I've got to go fiddle with that for the next however long. So, it never ends. I'm just a pincushion that continues to get poked and prodded. I told somebody today that I feel like you ever go to a dealership and you want to buy a car, but they won't let you because they keep trying to sell you like the warranty and the service package and all the trim extras and things that come with it. I was like, I feel like this hospital is kind of like doing this to me. Well, we can't let you have surgery until you have our deluxe pulmonary heart catheterization package.
The undercoating wax, undercoat waxing.
Yeah. So I was like, every department in this hospital has got to take their piece out of John and get paid. So, you know, that's what happens when you deal with surgery.
The good news is I'm back in my high school pants.
But I did lose 20 pounds, so there's that. So it's good to be back with you guys. I have missed this. And it was, and like, I couldn't do any comics reading while I was down because I was too dog sick to do anything. So when I finally did start to get feeling better, I had to try to cram to catch up on about 4 weeks worth of comics. I've not managed to do it, but I did get caught up on some of the most important ones or the ones that I like the best. So here we are, trying to get caught up and do our first episode of Alternate Reality in over a month. I didn't anticipate it would be this long, Charlie, until we would be back. I anticipated 2 to 3 weeks. It's been closer to five.
Yeah, I know.
So I apologize to all our fans for the delay.
I made a lot of money at the comic book store.
And
I got my Predaking.
I thank you. I would like to say a big thank you to Charlie, who came in today and brought me gifts. He brought me Funko Pops that he was able to obtain at the comic book shop that he works at.
No.
And they were Masters of the Universe Pop. No, you didn't get them there? No. Oh, you got them at the store up north. Right. They were on sale or discount or something, right?
And at FYE.
Yeah, FYE.
Because that's where Trap Doll came
from. Right. So he got me Masters of the Universe Pops. And so I got a Beast Man. I got
his wife told me to.
I got a Beast Man. I got a Merman. I got a Trap Jaw. And I got a Stratos. And they're the coolest thing ever. So thank you, Charlie. And he brings them in and just, here you go. I was like, oh, what I owe you? And he was like, nothing. I was like, so you just, why are you doing that? Just no reason. Okay. Thanks for making me feel bad.
You're welcome.
So, you know, thank you. Thank you for the gift. I appreciate it. One of these days I might buy you something nice. Don't hold your breath because I got a lot of medical bills to pay. But I might try to. How's your last 4 or 5 weeks been, Charlie?
Like I said, I got my Predaking.
So you bought the Predaking. That's a combiner, isn't it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Predacons merged to form Predaking. I bought a Transformer recently. I bought Hound from the Siege line. I think for those of you online watching on Facebook, he's super cool, and I like him very much.
Predaking comes from the one that the Optimus comes from, the series that comes
from. Yeah, so this is my Optimus. This is from the, was it War for Cybertron? Or the Power of the Primes, which one is it?
Power of the Primes.
Power of the Primes line. So this is a cool Optimus that I've got from that line.
Each Predacon is
based. For those of you listening on the podcast, we're doing something on video that you can't see. I apologize.
Each Predacon is about the size of Optimus. So
each one?
Yeah.
So Predaking
is like about 2 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, like, he comes with, like, a massive sticker sheet because Dive Bomb, you have to put each individual sticker on each
one. Right.
And that's like 52 stickers.
Jeez. Well, I remember thinking when I got Hound out, I was like, how nice is it that all these stickers are already on here? When I got my Hot Rod, I had to put some stickers on him. And the stickers that I put on his crotch or his pelvis piece, I didn't get exactly lined up just right, so it's a little off center.
Yeah, the screw holes are always.
Yeah, and so that bothers me.
That's what bothered me when I had my original one.
So.
Well, the funny thing is now,
right?
There's a place called Repro Labels online,
mm-hmm.
where like you could buy like Hound there,
mm-hmm.
and like get his original G1 stickers and put it on that Hound.
Oh, really?
So he
will they fit it?
Well, they.
I mean, little things like stars and Autobot symbols would.
They retrofit it.
Oh, okay.
Because they've done that with Trypticon. And I was like, God, I couldn't imagine putting Trypticon stickers on. He has 3 sticker sheets.
So do you put those stickers on top of the other ones, or you have to peel the original ones off?
No, they don't come with them.
Well, see, my Hound already had stickers on it.
Well, yeah. Well, these would replace, like, we're like in the original, like with Hot Rod there, where he doesn't have knee joints, but you put in the sticker that makes it look like he has knee joints.
Right.
That's what these would do to Hound.
Oh, okay.
and like Autobot symbols and Decepticon symbols.
Sweet.
If you wanted to pay for extra stuff.
Jose Capitillo. Capitillo is watching us on Facebook. Yeah.
Jose.
Hey, hello, Jose. I'm not trying to intentionally sound racist when I say that like this.
He knows you. We know Jose.
You know me. You know how I am. All right.
John's an idiot.
I am an idiot. You just know it. So there's that. I also got a Garth pop to go with my Wayne's World pop. Wayne himself. Wayne, what is Wayne's last name? Wayne and Garth. I don't remember.
Garth's last name is Algar.
Yeah, Garth Algar. What is Wayne? Wait, it's not Wayne. Like, danged if I can remember. This is horrible.
Wayne Duffy.
I started to say Wayne Brady, but that's a black comedian. No.
Wayne Doodle.
So anyway. All right. So we're going to do this show where we talk about comic books. We haven't done one of these in a while.
At any point in time.
Yeah. Because, well, I mean, we have to play a little catch up. That's, you know, we haven't talked to the people in a while. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about four comic books because Charlie didn't read anything last week.
Is it Campbell?
Wayne Campbell. Yes. Very good. Thank you. I don't know why I can't remember that. It was only an instrumental part of my childhood.
It's normally like your favorite movie.
My favorite thing ever in all of high school. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so, Wayne Campbell.
Yeah, Wayne Campbell. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. All right. So let's take our quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about comics. Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast, now back and doing comic book reviews every week. We'll be back in just a moment.
Weren't you ever the least bit curious about your father's identity?
I don't have a father. My mother sculpted me from clay and breathed life into me.
Your mother and I sculpted you together. When I met you a few years ago, I realized Hippolyta must have brought you to life sometime after I was condemned to Tartarus. As a reminder of me, perhaps.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to hear from you. We want you to contact us. Boldly go forward and contact us.
With contact paper.
contact New Life, New Civilizations, or the Alternate
Ducks.
Or the Alternate Reality podcast, whatever is easiest. Send us an email. Email us at alternaterealitypodcast@gmail.com. All one word. No spaces, no hyphens, no dots, no periods. alternaterealitypodcast@gmail.com. And whether you send us a text-based written email or a voice recorded audio message that you've attached to an email, we would love to either one of those. We will read and or listen to and respond to them live on the air when we get those. All right, Charlie. This week, we've got just a few books to talk about because we're breaking back in easy. You don't want to do too much too quick. And so the first book up, I'm going to talk about Avengers. I can't go on enough about how much I love Jason Aaron. And some of the stuff that Jason writes is it's pretty good. And some of the stuff he writes is fantastic. I'm particularly enjoying his work on Conan right now. His Thor stuff has been good in the past. The current run right now is maybe not blowing my skirt up a ton. His work on Doctor Strange has been very good. I mean, I'm hard pressed to find something that Jason Aaron's writing that I'm not loving. And, This Avengers book is fantastic. Now, it didn't start out strong. The first arc, I was critical of. The first arc, I was critical of because it seemed like it mirrored the No Justice arc that was going on in Justice League.
They had very similar.
Yeah, they were very, very similar. So I was a little put off by that, even though the McGinnis artwork was pretty. Now, where we've kind of branched out from that, the Avengers have created a new home for themselves. It's not Stark Tower. It's not Avengers headquarters in some place. They live in the freaking Celestial that died during the final host wave. And it's at the North
Pole. What are they, the Guardians of the Earth now?
Yeah, basically. And so this Celestial is standing at the North Pole, and they live inside it. It is dead, but they live inside it. But its body is so advanced that it responds to them. So when they tell it to turn up the heat, it turns up the heat. That makes them warm. They tell it to open up a communication line to something, then it does it. It's like the cadaver of this thing is so advanced, it will respond to their commands and act like a fortress. It's almost like they live in Fortress Maximus or, you know, someplace like that. It's like a giant robot.
It's like they live in the Starship Enterprise.
Well, yeah, if the Royal Starship Enterprise was a celestial robot. And so
it's... What I'm saying is all they got to do is tell it...
Tell it what they want it to do, and it'll do it. Some of the rooms change environments. The fingers that are reaching out from the thing like that have got holes in the ends of them, and it's like the ports where the spaceships fly into. And so it's just, you know, it's just cool. I think it's not something that has typically been done with the Avengers. The Avengers, now they brought Jarvis up there, and Jarvis tells T'Challa that, you know, he said, you know, I'm just one man. I can't clean all this. And he goes, no, 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 we don't expect you to. This thing kind of is self-cleaning. He said, but I do need your help.
It's a little lubricated around here.
Yeah, I do need your help in picking a support staff. So they've added some other people who are not Avengers team members, but they've got support staff. They've got Gorilla Man or whatever his name is. It used to be Agent of Atlas. What is his name?
Gorilla Man, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. He's got a name, but I can't remember what it is. They've got some kid that
Gorilla.
They've got some kid that works in the IT department. He is one of the smartest people on the planet. Oh, no, no, no. It's not some kid. It's that little thing that went to Xavier's school. It's like a brood alien. Did you read any of that X-Men brood stuff? Yeah. And
that's his name.
Yeah. And so he works in the IT department.
Brood.
Yeah. And so he...
Because Jason Aaron did write Wolverine and the X-Men.
Right. So they just added a bunch of kind of like cool sideline characters like that as part of their support staff. They have got they have brought Kazar in as a special agent to retrieve data and information and do spying stuff for him. Things like that. And it's just
Kazar the Savage?
Yeah, exactly.
To do.
Well, they sent him to spy on Namor in Atlantis because Namor's doing this whole uprising from the sea thing right now in Marvel.
You won't recognize me, Kazar. Namor, I'm Kazar.
And so, you know, it's like, you know, the
ocean. Frozen caveman lawyer.
And that just struck me funny because I suddenly remembered that Phil Hartman from Saturday Night Live.
This strange box with tiny people in it.
God, I lost my train of thought. Atlantis is making war against the surface world. And so they were flying over the ocean, and they said, all right, Kazar, we want you to go down to Atlantis to see what the environment is and see what's going on down there and get us a reading on how things, tensions are down there and what the status of the people is. They said, now here's your suit that'll keep you alive underwater. And Kazar's like, I don't need that. And he puts a knife in his teeth and just dives in the water. And somebody was like, well, he'll be dead in a little while.
He's Kazar, the last boy.
At the end of the... No, that's the wrong one. And so at the end of it, they was like, yeah, we haven't heard from Kazar. He'll be missed. And then suddenly Kazar comes walking in with a giant, like, piranha fish thing that he's killed. And he's like, well, where's the barbecue? And they said, do you have information on Atlantis? He goes, oh, yeah, I checked it out. I know what's going on. And he gathered all the information he needed. So... It's kind of cool to see Jason Aaron's taking this team in a different direction. I find it fascinating. He didn't have time to expand on it in the first one. Odin has been made an advisor of the Avengers. And so T'Challa goes up, not Thor, because Thor and Odin don't particularly get along very well. So
what?
Yeah, for real. And so, but
I'm shocked.
But T'Challa goes up and talks.
In all the movies, he seems such a strong, loving father.
T'Challa goes up and talks to Odin, king to king. And they connect on a level that way. And
I'm the king now.
And so he talks to him, and he gets Odin to give him advice and tell him about things from millennia ago that he didn't know about certain kinds of people or vampires. Or
hey, I was banging the Phoenix Force while you were you weren't even in diapers.
So the current thing that's going on right this minute is there's a Dracula.
Wait a second. This hasn't been the whole story up to now?
No, no. This is just setting the stage. So the current thing that's going on right now is there's a vampire civil war. Yeah, so if you have a vampire civil war, what do? You bring in Blade.
And because so, that's all
Blade. Because that's all Blade does is kill vampires. Charlie was talking earlier about that Blade is such an untapped potential character. They could have done so much more with him, but they keep relegating him to just killing vampires. That's all he can do. And so it's just a shame that he's
not Blade, supernatural warrior. It's B- Blade.
Vampire Hunter. So.
Which works well if you're a Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
But not so much for a 90s throwback character.
So this new guy that's on the scene, this guy that's trying to overthrow Dracula, his name is Colonel something or other. I hate it when I can't.
Sinister or something?
No, like something. I can't.
I mean, his army looks cool, but the guy with the hell gas mask.
Yeah.
The little man thing behind him.
Yeah, he's got that little, he calls it the boy thing.
The boy. Okay.
The shadow colonel.
I don't think I'd be walking around with a boy thing on my shoulder, but yeah.
Well, he makes vampire steaks that he can kill other vampires, but he has an endless supply because he's got this gun he walks around with, this giant freaking gun that's like a repeated gun, and that boy thing makes endless supply.
The boy thing makes a lot of wood, doesn't it?
He does. He makes an endless supply of vampire
wood, right?
That he shoots through that gun and kills vampires.
Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Is he a teenage boy thing?
No, I think he's a young boy thing. So anyway, the crux of this story is they abduct Ghost Rider because when they bring the Shadow Colonel in to talk to him. He agrees to come in and parlay. And consult, you know, and talk to him and see if we can work something out.
I heard they screwed up with Ghost Rider.
When he gets there, some of his other team members go down to where Ghost Rider is, and they start talking to him, and they start using an incantation on him, and he doesn't know what they're doing. They say, "We call upon Mephisto and all the elders of hell whom you serve to grant us your favor now." And so when they cast a spell on Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider becomes like this horrible, dark version of himself. You can see here, Charlie.
Yeah, because he's vengeance.
And he's
the character vengeance.
And so he's totally under their control now, and they control Ghost Rider. And apparently, this Robbie Reyes kid has no idea what Ghost Rider's capable of.
Well, he thought he was being possessed by his uncle.
Right.
But from what I understand, they've retconned that to where, like, he is actually being inhabited by the spirit of vengeance, who was the original
ghost. The original Ghost Rider. Well, see, here's the thing. Somebody said, "Well, you owe your soul to hell," or something like that. And he said, "No, I didn't. I never made any bargains with hell." Then Mephisto shows up, and Mephisto shows up as a little boy. Looks like he's about 8 years old, but he's got little horns and he's red colored. And he goes, "Oh, you're in for a
horny little boy, huh?"
Yeah. He goes, "Oh, you're in for a bad time, Mephisto." I mean, Robbie Reyes, and he goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "You don't remember me?" He said, "You were all too eager to make a deal with me before." And Robbie has no clue what he's talking about. So apparently, the retcon is that at some point, something happened to Robbie, and Mephisto had appeared to him and offered him a deal, and he took it. And so now he's, you know, just like Johnny Blaze or whoever before him, he's the same kind of Ghost Rider
and all the catch.
Yeah, whoever all the rest of them were.
Zarathros, that's... Yeah, that's right.
Also, in the meantime, Dracula, who was being pummeled and his forces horribly devastated in this vampire civil war, has gone to Russia to seek asylum with the Crimson Guard.
Vladimir Putin, I'm a good friend of Trump's. Let me in.
And so he's in Russia, and Tony Stark goes to see him, and, you know, he was...
I want bird.
And Dracula's like, "You think you're the first Stark to crawl to me and ask for immortality, ask for favors, ask for what I can do for you? You should have seen how Howard crawled to me." Oh, Tony Stark goes into a rage. And he's like, "My father never knew you." And he goes, "You don't know what your father knew." And so then the Crimson Guard comes in there because Tony's not supposed to be there, and they get in a big fight. And so I was like, nothing really resolves in this issue, but the stage is set for a really big climactic battle, and I'm like, dang, Jason Aaron, you've taken this book in surprising ways that I did not expect it to go. I'm eager to kind of see what happens. And the
mega event where
the War of the Realms is coming up, and this is kind of leading into that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That's another big Marvel event, and I'm like, oh, no, Marvel, like, come on.
3-month event or something like
that? Yeah, it's going to have 400 tie-ins.
Spider-Man's got a tie-in.
So I was like, oh, geez, Marvel, come on.
Luke Cage is.
I got so angry with Marvel because they suckered me into reading the Infinity War book that came out recently.
Infinity Wars.
Okay, Infinity Wars, whatever. And I was like, okay, this is 6 issues. I kind of like Infinity Stone stories, especially with the movie coming out in the next little bit. I was like, I'll read this. It's just 6 issues.
With Infinity Warped characters.
Yeah. And so there's a big fight, and there's all these different versions of these characters running around. They do an amalgam universe kind of thing where you've got amalgamized versions of characters, but within the Marvel universe. So you got Captain America and Doctor Strange. He's a Soldier Supreme. Right.
And Ghost Panther.
Right. There's a couple of them like that.
Like Fantastic Two or
some. Yeah. And, I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. We get to the end of it and nothing happens and nothing's resolved. And it just leads into another big story that you got to start buying. It comes out next month. And I was like, no, Marvel, I'm not doing that. No, you cannot bait me in. Tell me you're going to give me a 6-issue story and not finish the story and then start ask me to buy more comics at the end of it. No, that's not
cool. Yes, we can. We're Marvel.
No. So
Marvel, mwah.
Not doing it. Not
Marvel, mwah.
So
I'm Marvel man.
So the way I will handle this War of the Realms thing is I will buy the books I was already buying. If Avengers has got a tie-in, I may buy it. You know, but if it's not just the regular Avengers book, or if it's not the regular Thor book, or the ones I was already reading anyway.
Did you hear they're adding another Spider-Man book?
Yeah, I heard that.
Spider-Bite.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay, it's weird.
I think he's going to be a little kid Spider-Man.
A little kid Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Is it like Spider-Boy? Like boy thing?
No, I think it's just...
Or is it like a smaller version of Spider-Man?
Yeah, like a younger version.
Like how young? Like 16? Are we talking 12? Are we talking 8? Like
8.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Peter or is it somebody else?
I don't know.
All right.
I think what they're doing is they're leading from that Infinity War thing. But there was a character in that called Spider-Bite, but I don't think they would use that character.
Well, is he a multiverse character, a Spider-Verse character from another world?
I think so. But we don't know yet because there was just a solicitations for one of those War of the Realm titles. And it's said starring the new hit character, Spider-Bite.
How can you be new hit if you're not out yet? That's like the new hit record that you've never heard.
But what I'm saying is I think it's a younger version of Peter because the spider bite that was used in the Spider-Geddon one was a girl who used a computer program to become a spider person in the virtual reality world.
Okay.
Which that would do nothing in real life.
Yeah, that would not help you in any way unless you're waging a virtual war. Okay, whatever.
But I don't think it's that character. I think it's a younger boy version of Spider-Man.
All right, Charlie, let's shift gears. Let's talk about Batman number 65.
Okay. This is a crossover with The Flash. And the thing is, with this book, Flash has went to like the Flash Museum, and he's looking for clues to what's going on because someone had wrecked it. It turns out to be Gotham Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gotham Girl has went nutty again.
Right. She does that.
She's using her powers, and she's...
Don't they, more they use their powers, the more...
Yeah, they die.
Yeah.
Their body uses all their life energy up or whatever.
Right.
Well, she starts sending these other people who were prototypes for Gotham and Gotham Girl.
Okay.
And they're basically just like dead bodies that have like the Gotham suits or whatever. And Batman are fighting this, and Batman and Flash are fighting them. And in this issue, Flash like tries to talk to her, and he's like, well, you know, I know what with your brother dead, you know, that you might act out. I had a good friend who just recently died, and he's talking about Wally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this has to deal with Batman and Flash's connection to Sanctuary.
Okay.
Because Gotham Girl has one of those masks, the concealer.
Right.
The concealed identity mask. And she's like, what are you talking about? My brother's not dead. And Gotham comes in. But it turns out it was a clone of Gotham that they start fighting.
Of course it was.
Well, at the end of it, they start. She starts talking about like how like she knows like how her powers eat into her life force and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, "Well, it doesn't really matter because my brother's not here, and I'm willing to pay the price for my life." And she like starts glowing. So she's about to use her full power or whatever, which I think is weird because Tom King, when he first started it, because this is very much like the first like 5-6 issues of Batman, where it's like heavy, like dialogue of her, like thoughts and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I remember in that book that her and Duke got married in the future.
Okay.
But if she's going to use all her powers now, unless I don't know how they're going to resolve that. Is she going to burn up at the end of this, or is she going to use all of it to a point and only have like a few years left or whatever? You know, I don't know. I don't know how that.
I expect that when it's all said and done that she'll be dead. I don't know. Or very close to it. I don't think we'll ever see her past Tom King's run on this book.
But then again, it's like, I don't know how I like this, because I'm enjoying the story, but if it ties into that whole Bane is running everything, like mm-hmm. from Tom King's run, I don't like that at all. Because that's seriously kind of silly. Well,
maybe it's not. Maybe it just seems that way. And that's the red herring that they've been feeding you.
Because they start talking about, hey, remember when we found the button in the Batcave?
Mm-hmm.
And Batman goes, yeah, we were just being used. So they didn't really find the button.
Well, it was all
Bane the whole time.
Bane did that? Yeah. What would Bane know about the
computer? But that's what I'm saying. How would he know about Thomas Wayne, too? But yet, in that one issue of Batman, you saw Thomas Wayne Batman there.
He's a DC Comics reader.
Who is?
Bane.
Oh.
He's got subscriptions. He gets him in jail.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, how would he know unless Psycho Pirate's telling him all this? Because Psycho Pirate was technically the only one. But then again, is Psycho Pirate sane enough to tell anybody anything that would actually do any good or harm to anybody? Just seems a little odd to me. But I'm only reading it just because
of the tie-in. Of the
Flash tie-in.
Yeah.
Fool me once, Tom King. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on
you. Did you read that Mr. Miracle run you did?
Yes, that was actually fairly good.
Because I've heard people say, it's great, it's great. And so by reasoning, then this should also be great. But I don't know if that works.
No.
You know how people are. Although, you know, I love Tom King because he wrote this and he wrote The Vision.
Well, you have people on Twitter who go, don't talk bad about Tom King books. You don't know what's going on in Tom King's books and blah, blah, blah. He's such a great, fantastic writer. No, he has hits and misses just like everybody else.
Sure.
Brian Michael Bendis is not hitting it out of the park in everything he does either.
Well,
neither is Jeff Johns. Neither is Jason Aaron.
Sure. I said
neither is Mark Wade.
I remember when Brad Meltzer was writing books. We talked about him before the show started. And when he wrote Identity Crisis, I remember thinking how fantastic that was.
And then when he started writing
Justice League, it was like,
it was terrible, but his one-shots were really good.
Right.
The one-shots he did after the run was really good.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. You just can't plug a writer and say, oh, he writes everything really good. I mean, he can have hits and misses.
Sure.
To me, Batman is a huge miss. But, you know, I just don't like the character when he says, yeah, I tried suicide. I was 12 years old. I tried it. I was all depressed. No, that's not how that works. Sorry. That's not Batman. And I know these people get on it. We're like, oh, it just proves he is Batman because he overcame it.
Yeah.
No.
You spend whatever thing you want.
Batman,
once he realized,
quit. And that's what killing yourself is. It's quitting.
Right. And once he made his mind up to go on this journey, he did not deviate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. Well, it's just like that one issue that I read back before the wedding where Batman is facing down Joker in a church and Joker gets a drop on him and beats the crap out of him. I was like, what?
Yeah, that would never happen.
There's no way that the Joker
could. He would get to a point to where, like, they'd maybe come to a stalemate, maybe, but
he'd have to be hurt or injured or something.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like Tom King is coming from this point where he probably read Nightfall in the 90s like we all did and thought, right. Oh my God, Bane is a friggin' genius.
Right.
But what did Bane do? He wore Batman down with his villains over time,
mm-hmm.
within like weeks of each other. Batman got no sleep. It was like snowing and whatever. He got sick, literally got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bane just comes in at the end and goes, oh, well, you're screwed. I'm going to almost kill Alfred and I'm going to break your back.
Right.
Bane came in at the last second and basically, oh, bitch slap. You know,
but to some degree, isn't that this whole thing again?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think
because he's put Batman through every possible. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tom King's doing. And I think that's we're not really doing spoilers for Heroes in Crisis, but I think that's what's going to happen in Heroes in Crisis.
What, that Bane is?
No.
No. What?
Another 90s villain that started another crisis event.
Okay. 90. What?
Time Traveler.
Wave Rider?
No.
No. 90s villain. Started a crisis.
And they're doing a huge collection of this series this year, coming out in a few months.
Is it Zero Hour?
Yes.
You're talking about Captain Atom?
Extent, yes.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the bad guy.
Oh, that's an interesting
Because take. Reverse Flash doesn't make any sense because Reverse Flash knows about time travel.
Right.
You got to have someone who's not really, you know,
mm-hmm.
not really good with time travel. And I think Extent fits that. But, and like I said, they're coming out with like the 20th anniversary of that this year.
I know they've solicited the heck out of Zero Hour and tie-ins yeah. and things like that.
And I think that's what Tom King's doing. He's writing another Zero Hour.
It's possible. Okay.
And theoretically, no one's doing anything with Hawk so right now. So
right.
Hawk's your bad guy.
Right.
He was so good in Titans.
He was good in that, right? So a little heads up before we go on. I finally got DC Universe streaming service. So I'm trying to get caught up on my Titans, and I'm going to start watching Doom Patrol pretty soon. I've also been watching Umbrella Academy on Netflix. So maybe in the next few weeks, we'll have some TV to talk about. So just keep your ear to the ground on that.
Daredevil and Punisher.
No, I haven't. I actually haven't. That's weird.
I watched like 3 episodes of Daredevil, but it's like the Netflix shows I like watch.
It's weird that they've already canceled Jessica Jones, but we've got a third season coming. Yeah.
Like I was like, it's going to be a little weird when they go to promote that show. Like, yeah. You're not going to have them interview. Oh, it's a great show, blah, blah, blah.
We're excited for setting up future stuff, but we're not.
But I thought it was funny, too, because it's like a lot of these actors, like everyone goes, well, Hulu or Netflix might save them. They can't.
No, Disney.
They're under 2-year contract.
Yeah, 2-year no compete, basically. They can't go anywhere else or do anything with them.
And a lot of the characters are already on different shows. I think Charlie Cox is on another.
Right.
Is already on another.
But I think after the 2 years is up, you know, the Disney streaming service will be out. I think there's a chance you see them come back. Not.
It won't be these shows.
Not as these 4 individual shows, but maybe a Defenders show where they're all in it.
But what I'm saying is it won't be these Netflix shows.
I think there's a good chance.
I don't think Disney will do an R-rated show like these shows on Netflix.
You don't think there's any chance?
I don't think so.
Because if it's streaming, you know, it's not like it's on broadcast TV or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's streaming, so mostly.
I mean, they're going to make Deadpool movies. They said they're going to make Deadpool movies. They're going to be R-rated.
Okay, we'll see if that happens.
Oh, that's what they said.
Because I think that was the big push for Once Upon a Deadpool.
I'm just saying.
To see if they could do a Deadpool and have it PG-13.
My understanding, based on some of the reading I've done, is that Kevin Feige said they were going to keep part of the Fox movie crew.
And from what I understand, Kevin Feige said, oh, we had nothing to do with the Netflix stuff. But from what I understand is that basically all Netflix had into those was money. Because every year they would double up on
mm-hmm.
the use of the characters.
Well, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they were just PG-13. You know, bring out a Luke Cage and Iron Man team-up show. Power Man and Iron Fist, and make it PG-13. That suits me fine.
I But these are like working actors. You, like I said, Charlie Cox is on another thing. You think he's just going to quit whatever he's doing and go back to Daredevil 2 years from now?
I don't know why they couldn't take the most popular ones and bring them to the movie screen.
They had the chance in Infinity War. Had all the chance.
I know.
The Russo brothers said, yeah, we kind of wanted to, but it just didn't fit the story. How's enough fit the story?
Yeah, got just
put them in there.
You could have just... You could have had him in New York.
You could have had him in Civil War.
Well, yeah, you could have.
But they didn't do it then either. They weren't ever having any plans on it.
I sincerely, from what I have read, there are future plans we just don't know about. Now, I could be wrong. We may never see him again. I don't know.
I don't think we'll see these characters as...
With these actors.
These actors again.
Maybe
I'm not. Sure you'll see a Daredevil, but it won't be Charlie Cox.
That's sad because I like him a lot in the role.
I'm not saying Luke Cage, but Mike Coulter is like a first-time actor anyway.
Yeah, he's not a particularly great actor.
But you won't see him in it. You won't. Kristen Ritter, apparently she liked Alias, like the comic books. But like I said, she's a popular actress. And
yeah, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if she didn't come back. I never liked the Jessica Jones stuff very much. So the Punisher stuff is just, that's the one I want him to save.
Yeah.
They need to do something with him. Bring that guy. What's the actor's name?
John Bernthal.
Yeah, they need
to. But apparently he's already in the Sopranos prequel show.
They need to offer him a ton of money and say, hey, we're going to bring you to the movie screen. That's what they need to
do. But that's what I'm saying. He's already doing the Sopranos prequel show, so he's wrapped up with HBO.
Well, they got the 2-year moratorium, so maybe he's 2 years in and then he's out.
But wonder
maybe he gets killed.
Wonder if HBO's like, no, you're... You're in it.
Well, at some point, you can walk away if the money's good enough.
You can, but I don't know.
All right.
I just don't see these characters and these actors going to be the same.
All right. We were going to do a quick show. We're running long.
It'll be like the Mark Wade run on Daredevil. You know, like how like the volume before that was the Brian Michael Bendis stuff.
Right.
It was all dark and gritty.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out to be like the light, funny Daredevil one. I'm not Daredevil.
Well, you know, Affleck's out on Batman. We could always get him back.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
But from what I understand, I really don't.
I don't understand DC's current strategy at all. But
and I hear like they might want Robert Pattinson.
For what?
As Bruce.
The guy that played Edward?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, no. No.
I've heard that he's a contender.
No.
And I was like, I don't think I would watch it.
No, I couldn't bring myself to watch
it. I'm a Batman fan. I just...
No.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Andrew Garfield. I don't want to see anybody like that.
Get
an unknown actor. That would please me to no end. Get someone you can have for, like, 3 Batman movies.
Yeah, well, sure. But the thing about this is DC's kind of all over the place. On one hand, you get the idea that DC's riding the ship, you know, because Aquaman was very good. Wonder Woman, they've decided to keep. You know, Henry Cavill may be out of Superman. But he may not be, I've heard
rumors. I hear he may be in Shazam.
Well, somebody said no, but somebody else said yes, so I don't know.
Next month.
April. The Shazam looks good. I'm excited about that. So it seems like
Marvel's in about a week or so.
Yeah, I know. Right. And so did you see the big thing that, the actor from Shazam, what's his name?
Zachary Levi.
Yeah. Zachary Levi. Did you see the big thing? He come out and said, it's not a competition, guys. Quit getting mad at each other. So I was like, that's a little weird that he has to do that.
Well, it's weird, but from what I understand, there are already like people bombing Captain Marvel and the movie's not even out yet on
Rotten. Yeah, I've heard that it's not good. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. They're bombing it on Captain Marvel. Nobody's seen it.
I don't know. Well, there's a couple of people have said, I've seen some advanced reviews, non-spoiler reviews, just talking about the tone of the movie and stuff like that.
Well, from people I've seen that work for, well, technically work for Marvel, but like work for Marvel writing.
Right.
They say it's like the best movie.
Well, of course. What are they going to say? Charlie, quit banging your beer bottles.
What I'm saying is they're not directly involved with Disney, so it doesn't matter really what they say.
Right.
But
back to my point I was making. It seems like on one hand, DC's riding the ship. Aquaman was great. Wonder Woman's great. Shazam looks great.
But supposedly, you see, Batman's going to be like a prequel.
Right. So he's a younger Batman, different than the Batman we knew in Batman versus Superman. And then you got this Joker stuff that's all over the place because you got this Joaquin Phoenix
thing. It looks
horrible.
It's almost as bad as the Gotham Joker.
Jared Leto apparently is out as the Joker.
Oh, he's going to be Morbius, though. So he's going to screw Spider-Man up.
And so if the Joaquin Phoenix Joker is not your regular proper universe Joker, then they're going to have to recast.
It's not going
to
be.
Right, so you have to recast a regular Joker for regular Batman.
If they even use.
If and they may not go that way.
From what I understand, they're not going to.
So
it's supposedly Penguin again.
Can we
get some new villains?
Yeah, really.
Batman's got a rogues gallery.
Right. Can we?
not a rogues full house apartment, you know?
How about a Victor Zsasz or how about a, you know?
Well, he showed up in the Christian Bale.
Yeah, but we didn't get a whole movie dedicated to him, you know?
I don't know, unless it's that Kevin Smith one. I don't think Zsasz, I don't want to see Zsasz.
Why don't we do onomatopoeia?
I think that'd be awesome. I mean, theoretically, I would love for that to work out because could you imagine like a guy who makes sounds like that, like real sounds like that?
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
So for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, a little used villain created by Kevin Smith and
first showed up in Green Arrow.
Yeah. And, so it's
and he wrote a Batman story.
He wrote a Batman story using him, and so he's hardly ever been used, only by Kevin Smith because he's his creation. Yeah. So,
that'd be fantastic. But what I'm saying is, Batman's got a rogues gallery,
right?
I've seen the same six people. It's like Spider-Man, right?
Right.
Vulture. They did right with Homecoming with Vulture.
It was good.
I was like, oh my god, Vulture. Finally, Spider-Man's got rogues gallery too.
Right.
The next one, we're going to get Mysterio. What? You know?
They need to do the Chameleon. I would like to see that one.
That'd be good.
Because I remember being impressed with him as a kid. He could be anybody, you know?
But I think, like, you would get into the weird politics of that. Who would he be working for, you know?
Yeah. He could be Hydra agent or anybody.
A rogue Hydra agent.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's so many untapped things they could do. You know, comic book movies, for better or worse, are here to stay. Let's make them good.
I just like the fact that, like, everyone has been foretelling the death of the superhero movie. And, like,
well, yeah, I've been saying that it can't last.
The Oscars, they, like, won, like, what, 3-4 Academy Awards this year?
Well, and then there's Bill Maher, and Bill Maher's been talking about all the stuff he's been talking about.
He's an old man. I mean, He actually got money for a comic book money, so he should shut his mouth.
So
he was in Iron Man 3.
Right.
I mean, it was a cameo, but he still cashed the check for that.
Sure. But
his thing is, though, if you're still into comic books, you're not a grown up.
Right. You're adolescent. You're a teenager.
What about all those people who watch Star Trek and were Star Trek fans?
What about sports fans? What's the difference?
And went to work at NASA and is in the NASA space program because they watch Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah. Sports fans are the same. So we're race car fans. And
whatever you're into.
Yeah.
You know, if you enjoy a particular thing and you watch it religiously and you go out and you buy memorabilia and you put it in your house, it's no different if it's comic books or sports or whatever.
Auto mechanics or
whatever you're into. Hunting.
Yeah.
Golf. Whatever your deal.
Whatever little minutia you like is a nerd thing. And that
model ship building. You probably have a shirt that says something about model ship building on it.
Yeah, like the Q30 SR-74 is much superior to the XR-23. but that's why I don't get, like, people who hate each other's, like,
passions and hobbies.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's just another type of nerdery.
Yeah, you're into what you're into.
I can talk about Batman all day and tell you specifics about characters and details, and you could tell me what a car engine sounds like from 30 years ago.
Right. If I'm into sadomasochism, what business is it yours?
Well, Scout, those people are called fecal fields.
Charlie, let's talk about comics.
Haven't we been?
We have been, but this episode is running long, and we were going to do a quick show. Yeah. So, Return of Wolverine. I'll be quick about it. Return of Wolverine episode, issues 1 through 5, because it's a 5-issue miniseries, sucked.
You're going to be quick about it?
Yeah, it sucked.
All 5 issues. Yeah, he came back. He was in the stupid chef outfit.
It sucked.
The red and black outfit.
All right, so there's been rotating artists on this book. It's not even been the same artist all the way through. This final issue is done by Steve McNiven. I will say this, looks good.
Because he did the first issue.
He did the first issue. And so...
Someone said the worst part about this book is that it was written by Charles Soule.
Well,
Charles Soule is the guy who killed Wolverine.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't... It just wasn't well done. That's all I can say. But I will say this. It looks great. I mean, if you probably may have leafed through it, at your work. But he draws this Wolverine great. I just think he's fantastic looking. But there... So the gist of it is that Wolverine was brought back by this character called Persephone, who has the ability to reanimate the dead, kind of like zombies. It's her minions, if you will, that have to do her bidding. And so,
is she an X-Men character?
I don't know. This is what she looks like.
Oh, no.
All right. So
I'm thinking somebody else's.
So she has the ability to reanimate the dead, and she can do it on different levels. She can raise them as like mindless zombies, like brains. She can do that. Or she can make them kind of like mindless automatons or just servants. Or she can reanimate them to the point that they
make them have flaming hot claws.
She can reanimate them to the point where they have their own mind, will, and personality. They think they're the original person. All right, but they're not. They're still dead, but they think their brain's working. They think they're the original person. Okay, but there's no soul there, I guess, if you will, however you want to explain that. But for that corpse, that corpse believes it is who it is. I have said for years that I believe the transporter on Star Trek kills everybody that goes through it and just creates a new you somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it
atomizes you and
creates
you.
And so I've always said that the transporter is just a giant murder machine. Okay. But the idea is that the new you it creates thinks it's the old you. And so when she raises these higher level intellect zombies, they think they're the original because they've got all the thoughts and memories of the original. So they think they are. This is what she tried to do with Wolverine, but something unusual happened. This, I don't know if it's got to do with his healing factor or what, but he actually is alive. His soul returned to his body, if you will. It's the original him. It is who it is. He's actually Wolverine. And so he gets her.
Did they explain how he got out of the metal cocoon?
No. No.
No mention of it.
No. And so when she's talking to him about raising him up, here you see a scene of him like what looks like being pulled out of the ground. So I'm a little confused by that. Now, my understanding is there'll be more answers forthcoming in his other books going forward, because they also did not address the red hot
flaming hot claws,
flaming hot claws. They didn't address that either.
It's like a barrage.
So they have no idea where that comes from. All they know is that this is the original him, and he's trying to get to her like any good Bond villain and get her to explain what her plan is. Basically, she's in an orbital satellite, and there are like 50 other orbital satellites around the Earth.
Yeah, of course there is.
She's going to vaporize the entire human race, kill them all, and reanimate them all as her slave race. She's going to kill everybody on the planet all at one time and then make them all her zombie slaves. Well, of course, Wolverine can't have that. And
I got a question.
Yeah.
If that works out, how do you run the world?
How do you run it?
Yeah.
You tell them what you want them to do. It doesn't matter. Like if you want.
But theoretically, if you raise them all as mindless slaves, then nobody can do what they normally did.
Well, I don't know.
So there's no one to run the power stations.
Well, see, I think you raise them up as the higher level zombies, the one that think they are who they used to be, but they're still under your command. They still have to do what you say.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of trouble.
Well, that's just slavery with extra steps. So at the end of the day, she's not actually on this satellite. She's just being like hologram projected. So he goes and he finds a technician and asks him if he can destroy all the other satellites. And the technician says, yeah, to push a button, I can destroy them all. And so he does. And they're all destroyed and they all fall out. Yeah, they all are destroyed and they all fall out of orbit, right? And he goes, well, what about this last one here? And he goes, well, that's the one we're on. And he goes, what about it? And he goes, well, we're on it. We can't do that one. We'll die. And so Wolverine goes down. Wolverine goes down to the bottom level, basically, and sabotages the thing and causes it to fall out of the sky, too. Everybody on that station, with real people on it, I don't know, it may have been the mindless automatons, but they all die. And so basically, and I've always said, I've seen two or three versions of Wolverine where he's like the most damaged he can possibly be before he heals back.
Yeah, there was, Logan.
There was one where he, like...
Nuclear explosion.
There was one where he was... Yeah, and there was one where he, like, was in orbit and fell to Earth, and he burned up on re-entry, and he came down just in a heaping pile of pus and goo.
There was the Civil War issue where he was set on... He blew up because of that guy who blew up people. He came back from basically bone...
Just a skeleton.
Hard bones, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, by the time he falls to Earth, he's all burnt and crispy. And these fishermen find him in the water, and they go, oh, my God, he's alive. And he goes, please tell me you got some beer. And so, and the next scene you see is him at the Xavier Institute getting ready to knock on the door, which is odd because when the other X-Men found out he was alive, they tried to go and rescue him. He cut Iceman in half. So I don't know if him being in his ice form allowed him to be okay.
Yeah, that's how that works. He can.
Okay. Because I would have thought on the inside of the ice, it would still be a physical human form in there.
No.
Oh, okay.
He completely turns the ice. Okay. That was a retcon they did to explain why he was like little snow boy back when he started.
Right.
To Iceman.
Okay. Well.
And Emma Frost took over him and he could like create like living ice creatures and stuff.
So they said, to find out what happens next, check out Wolverine Infinity Watch number one. I said, nope, not checking it out.
That's what I'm saying. It's one thing leading into another.
Right. You don't ever get any answers. I understand you want to pique the reader's interest for what may be coming next, but don't tell
us. Does that pique your interest?
No, not in the least. All this does is makes me feel like I didn't get any resolution in this story.
Yeah, if they had definitely said, yes, this is why you're back.
Right.
Then you go, hey, for more Wolverine,
right,
read this.
I agree.
Not, hey, there's nothing in here. Read the next one. We might give you a story. Maybe not.
Maybe. You have to just see.
Yeah.
It's kind of like digging for buried treasure. You might hit something. You might not.
It's yeah. Like the Gates family always looking for the national treasure. I love that movie. I unapologetically love National Treasure. I will fight anyone who says that's not a good movie.
So, The Resolute Desk. All right, Charlie, last book of the night, Jughead the
Hunger. They were firm in the iron pen. What's in pen and ink? I love that movie.
Drawing conclusions where there are none to be had. National Treasure.
Well, the funny thing about that movie was, like, the girl...
We're going to steal the Constitution.
The girl was...
Or was it the Declaration of Independence?
The Declaration of Independence. The girl in that movie had a purpose.
Are we doing that movie now?
No, I'm just saying that the girl in that movie had a purpose. Mm-hmm. When they did the second one, she had no purpose. So they went from equal people, like trying to solve stuff to... I'm Nicolas Cage, I'm the star, and you're going to be the helpless girl in the next one. Which I don't like that one as much.
Okay. Last one, Charlie. Jughead the Hunger, number 12. Hunger 12.
Jughead the Hunger, number 12, starts out where Jughead is on an operating table, and he's being operated. And
that sucks, let me tell you.
And he's been shot. He's got a lot of shots, and the doctor's taking bullets out of the bullet holes, and the doctor's like...
Bullet holes.
Someone's talking to the doctor, and he's like, well, what do you think? Will he live? And the doctor's like, yeah, he'll live. And it turns out that it's his father talking to him. So we're introduced to Jughead's father, F.P. Jones.
F.P. Jones.
Well,
Freddie Prinze Jr. Jones.
I always thought it would have been cool if Freddie Prinze was Jughead's father on that instead of, was it that guy that was in...
You talking about Riverdale? Or what? Yeah. I don't know who was on it.
But Jughead wakes up and he's talking to Archie and Betty. He's like, wow, I just had a weird dream where like my dad was there. And she's like, well, I thought your dad was dead. And he goes, well, I don't think it was a dream. I think it was a memory. And they're like, a memory? What are you talking about? Well... The book goes on when, well, Jughead starts playing frisbee with a hot dog, and he throws the frisbee into the woods, and he goes to get it because hot dog's not come out back yet.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the woods, which is funny because Archie and Betty's like, well, be careful. And Jughead's like, well, of course I'm going to be careful.
Have a good time.
But I am a werewolf. What's going to...
Don't take any silver stakes.
What's going to happen, you know? So in the woods...
Watch out for silver bullets.
He meets his cousin Bingo, which I think is funny that his
cousin's
name is Bingo.
Ingeo.
Because he's a dog.
Bingo is his
name. Yeah, he's a werewolf too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jughead's like, don't hurt hot dog. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to hurt him. Well, the funny thing is they get into a confrontation. They're about to fight, and Archie and Betty come in, and Betty, like, shoots at Bingo with, like, a silver stake because her family are a bunch of werewolf hunters.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's and cool. She recruited Archie and...
Betty Van Helsing.
Basically. Well, the funny thing is Bingo's like, yeah, I said I'm not going to hurt hot dog, but I'm going to throw him at you. He throws a grown dog.
Yeah.
Like, what are those big Siberian husky things?
Right.
Like, you know, the ones that, like...
St. Bernards?
Yeah, St. Bernards. I think that's what hot dog is, or, like, he's part breed.
That's a healthy so throw.
He throws the dog at him.
That's a chunk to throw at anybody.
But Archie, like, Jughead goes into full werewolf mode, and apparently Bingo is going to go after Jellybean, which is Jughead's... younger sister.
Who's not a werewolf?
Well, nobody thinks she is, but she really is.
Okay.
But the next issue ends this series, and apparently they're going to do a crossover with Vampironica, which I kind of find stupid because they're kind of tying the universes together because all these things were separate beforehand. Like
right.
Archie was dealing with zombies and Archie with Afterlife with Archie and Sabrina had her own thing, which branched out of the Archie book, which not really because then it went into like the 60s.
Okay.
But then Jughead's like supposedly spun out of that. Well, like in the previous volume, Jughead's cousin had like turned all the Riverdale gang into werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Vampironica came out, and Vampironica, she's bitten by her father who was turned into a vampire, but it's not in the same universe. I don't know what this crossover is going to be.
Okay.
It's like, is he going to go into her universe?
So is there a... Is there a Veronica already in this
yes.
Jughead book?
Yeah.
And she's not a vampire?
No. She was a werewolf until he killed her.
Oh, so she's dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're going to have some splaining.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think with issue 13, I think I'm kind of done and I don't care about the crossover. And then they're going to start Jughead the Hunger Volume 2. And I'm just like, I mean... You can't just keep crossing over stuff and whatever.
At some point, it starts to feel like a money grab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
It's like a Marvel crossover. No fill. All filler. No story.
Yeah.
Except for War of the Realms. I hear that's going to be good.
Fantastic. Yeah, can't wait. All right. That's it for tonight's reviews. Again, we have run long, but we hadn't been back in a while. We had a lot to talk about. So we'll be back in just a moment to close the show out. Sit tight, Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast.
They're closing on us.
Yep, like the shrike bats of Dramadon.
How'd you beat them?
I'm trying to remember. There were an awful lot of casualties that day.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to thank you for waiting around on us. We know it's been a while since we put out an episode, and we are so happy that you are still here, still listening, still want to be part of our community and what we're doing. So there's a couple things we want to run by you real quick before we get out of here tonight. We want to remind you that we have a website. It's not much of a website. It's just a listing of episodes. But you should go check it out anyway. That website is https://arnetcast.podomatic.com. You can leave the HTTP part off. You can just put arnetcast.podomatic.com. We'll take you right there. You can listen to our latest episode, this episode, or you can listen to any number of previous episodes that have already come out. And they go back only so far, but they're available for as long as we can keep them up until we run out of room, and then we have to bump one. What is it, Charlie?
Jimmy and Amanda are going to be at Cincinnati this year.
Oh, okay. Cool. So when is that?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I would like to see them.
Like August or September.
Oh, that's not too bad. I may be able to work something out by then. Because I love me some Amanda Connor artwork. Even if it's just prints, even if it's not originals, I'd still love it. So check out the website. Contact us on email. I already gave that address to you, but I'll give it again. AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com. Write us an email or record a voice message and send to us. We will listen or read your message on the air and respond to it so that others can hear what you had to say. If you want to help us with what we do here at the Alden Reality Podcast, the easiest way for you to do it is to go over to patreon.com. Patreon is where you can sign up to support Alden Reality. I think you could make a one-time donation over there if you want to, but the best thing for you to do would be to sign up on our recurring Patreon subscription. So what you can do is you can sign up on three levels. You can sign up on the $3 level, the $10 level, or the $20 level. And then what happens is every month, whichever one you chose, $3, $10, or $20, will automatically come out of your account and come to us here at the Alden Reality Podcast. We really appreciate it if you could consider doing that, even at just the $3 level, because it does cost something to do the show. It costs something for bandwidth, hosting, things like that. And so you can help us keep the lights on here by donating to the show. And in doing so, you actually help make the show possible for us and for listeners like you who are discovering alternate reality maybe for the first time. So help us do our part to do what we can to spread the comic book love, the nerd community love to everybody else. So be a subscriber. Go over to www.patreon.com/alternatereality. You can go over to iTunes if you would and read and rate and review us. Please, only 5-star ratings. And if you're going to review us, please say only glowingly positive things. We don't like anything less than that. If you do that, that helps increase awareness of the Alden Reality Podcast and brings us to more people's attention when they're looking for comic book podcasts to listen to. So that would be really, really cool. We're on the social networking if you want to interact with us. Twitter.com is one place you can find us. Twitter.com/John Loveless for me, /XOnslaught for Charlie, and /AR_podcast for the show itself. We're also on the Facebook. You can just do a search for us over there. John Loveless, Charlie Huffman, Alternate Reality Podcast. You should be able to find us. We're all pretty public and in your face over there. And as always, Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can
actually more to the side of the face.
He's not in your face. He's next to your face. Comics Podcast with an S, double plural. Comics with an S, Podcast with an S. .com is where you can check out the network to listen to us and a bunch of other really cool shows that belong to the network. Anything to add to that, Mr. Huffman?
No.
So unless something unusual happens, we will try and give it our very best effort to be here consecutively going forward.
At least another week.
Depending on how many people go over to Patreon and sign up.
No, I'm saying depending on if they call you to go to Cleveland.
Well, hopefully I'll be able, the thing that they want me to come back up there for would be like a 1-day thing. I just would have to do some testing and then turn around and come home. So that should not cause me not to be here for the next episode of Alternate Reality. So hopefully that won't be a problem.
You should take me.
You want to go to Cleveland? Charles like, I grew up in Cleveland.
I'm born in Cleveland.
I know where everything's at up there.
The dirty streets of Cleveland.
He's from the dirty part of town, where the panhandlers are.
I did live in a not great neighborhood.
So that's it for this time. Until next time, and in the meantime, hopefully we will be back next week and all weeks, and several weeks in a row after that until transplant. Who knows when that'll be. So in the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good night. We're ready to start.
Oh, did you hear the good news about Bumblebee, though?
No, what was the good news?
It's officially a reboot.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. Yes. It's officially not a prequel. It's a reboot. Great.
So you remember all that stuff? Like, they didn't show, like, Megatron because he was supposedly...
frozen in the eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they can do away with that now.
Yeah, they can.
So they can have him and Optimus on Earth in the 80s together. Okay, well,
he'll still probably be a tank. So.
I was going to say, if he looked like original Megatron, that would be great. See, I don't care what he turns into, as long as his body form looks like original Megatron. Then they can do whatever contorting and twisting
they need to
turn him into whatever they want.
But the thing I understand is they totally like shot scenes with Megatron on Earth in G1 form.
For Bumblebee?
But Hasbro wouldn't allow him to do it because they said it was...
A prequel. Okay. Well, maybe they'll be there.
But now it's officially a reboot, so now it's like...
Maybe it'll be in the deleted scenes. I don't know.
Yeah, apparently there was, like, concept designs and stuff, and I don't think they... I don't know if they did. Have you seen the new Siege toys?
No.
Omega Supreme?
I know you post stuff all the time, but I don't know from
what. New Jetfire?
From what series they're from or whatever. If you posted it, I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, they had Toy Fair last weekend.
Right. I remember that everybody was posting it, but I remember seeing the Masters of the Universe stuff that was posted. So I always liked the Masters of the Universe. I want one of those gold armor movie Skeletors.
That looks cool.
I don't know why. That movie was horrible, but I want one of those gold armor movie Skeletors.
It's from Super 7, so I think they're the same people that did that Laughing He-Man one. So it's probably going to be like an exclusive thing.
Prince Adam? Laughing Prince Adam?
So I went to nothing and I found nothing. Looked too familiar.
And I said, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I was watching the Tonight Show, and they do this episode when Justin Timberlake comes on, where him and Justin were like went to camp together as little kids.
Right.
So Justin's like, "Hey Jimmy," and Jimmy's like, "What, Justin?" He's like, "You remember that song by Four Non Blondes?" And they start singing that song. When I went to my dad, never did. It's hilarious. Because, like, Keegan is in it, and he plays, like, their over-enthusiastic camp counselor who's trying to make them go to bed, right?
Right.
But, like, they won't do it, so he comes in there, and he like, grabs onto the post of the bed. He lifts himself up and kicks his legs in there. He's like, "Jiminy Jellickers, boys!" I got to show you that when we get done.
All right. Hilarious. All right. Cold open for episode 406. In 3, 2, 1...